We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus, and I hope that you have in the days gone by that you have give some time to Him, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and praise Him and thank Him for His grace that He has given to every man when He hung on the cross there on Calvary's hill, that the grace of God came through His death that passed on to us that we could have life and have it more abundantly. My friend, we're coming to be in the time that people are preparing for the holidays and Thanksgiving, and then they coming up with some of these other holidays, which is no basic truth for, but nevertheless, it's come from a pagan religion. But nevertheless, Thanksgiving is a great day because we should be thankful for that the God of glory has spared us for another year that we can give Him praise and honor. So I would encourage you to do so. Be thankful to Him for His blessings that He has been placed upon you, even though you may have had some troubles in this life in the past year. You may have lost loved ones. You may have lost a lot of other things, as they have in the storms that have raped over our country here in the past few days, and those that have happened in other lands and still are happening. But my friend, let you understand that these things must be according to what God's word, that they will become more frequently as we go along in the last days. We need to be thankful. If you have been spared your life once again, then these tragedies has happened, and I'm sure that there's a lot of the just as well as the unjust have lost loved ones as well as valuables of this world's goods. But if God has spared your life once again, don't you think that you may owe Him some gratitude and to be thankful that once again that His mercy has been upon you and His grace has been sufficient to help you, that you might have that opportunity once again to turn your life around, seek after the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that when that time comes, that your life may be taken away by whatever means, if it just lie down and go to sleep or whatever, but you have that promise of the resurrection into eternal life, or will it be into the resurrection of damnation? It's up to you, my friend. That's why I encourage you very, very much. Read your Bible. Read what the Word of God has to say. We see that how our nation is slipping deeper and deeper into sin because of the politicians and these people that wants to push sin into the world and pushing God out. They've taken it away. These Antichrist spirit has taken the prayer out of schools. We've seen that in the past years and how often that there has the children have been killed and one thing or another because the prayer has been taken out of school. They even don't even recognize the flag of the United States anymore because corruption has taken over in most of all the places. And most of all in the place that we're in that God's word is supposed to be preached truthfully, they're going and accepting everything that witches comes down the pike to please the people, tickle their ears for that monetary thing that we call money, because they want to build up their big things to themselves and have all the pleasures of life, and they tickle their ears. My friend, I'm not here to tickle your ears, but I'm here to warn you about the wrath of God that's fixing to be poured out upon this world. Not only on them that are over there in the Far East or whatever that you may be thinking about, that it's just going to come to them. It's going to come to here to the United States. We've seen an example for it that hitting that had hurricane business over there in Illinois and around and about. Did you know the other day Illinois' governor signed in to petition to make it a law that the same-sex marriage could be legalized there in that state, but he's not by himself. How he has done it, even to the Queenie over there in England, has she sanctioned it, and many other states, about 16, and probably be more than that in the next few days, a few weeks, that will come and fall intact with this. But my friend, let me tell you, God is against such evils as that is, and that he is going to make a judgment on that as well as he did on Sodom and Gomorrah, and as well as he did in Noah's day, that when he flooded the world, and therefore the 8 souls were saved, and that because they found grace in the sight of God. 8, you say, is a new beginning. 6 was not in the picture, because that's man's number, because on the 6th day he created man. But on the 7th day is his perfection, and he rested from his labors. But Noah's 8 souls were saved, and that was at a time of a new beginning. We've come to the place there now, my friend, that we're in, that this same sin that is engulfing the world today, it engulfed Sodom and Gomorrah. And God even searched and thought that even when Abraham asked him, would he spare Sodom and Gomorrah if 10 souls were saved? And he said he would. But Abraham went no further because he was afraid that there was be no salvation for none. But only 3 souls got out. That wasn't even man's figure. It wasn't even a perfect figure. It wasn't even a new beginning. But my friend, today it was a 3 that got out. One of them is like so much that Noah's wife had to turn back and look after she was forewarned about not looking back. And that's the way people are looking back into the world today and looking back. It's like the hog had been taken out of the water, cleaned up, and maybe a blue ribbon tied around her neck, but turned loose and went back to the old waller in the mire. We're wallering in the mire. I've seen it happen with some of these people. They claim that they come out of that lifestyle and then get up and before the congregation and tell them, I'm going back to my lifestyle, and taking his boyfriend and went on out, and he's engulfed in sin and such much until he's got AIDS, they tell me. This is something that God placed on them people, and our government and people is trying so desperately to find a cure for that, and so far they haven't. But nevertheless, God's got a remedy for all of these things that's coming against him and his glory and all of his teachings of righteousness and all, and they claiming that they are so right and that this is the way God made them. They're using the rainbow that God put in the sky as a covenant with Noah that he wouldn't flood the earth with water no more. They've taken that as a symbol to themselves and everything of their sinful actions, and God's getting tired of it, my friend. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's entirely up to you. But read your Bible. Check out the Word of God and see where we're at today. And if it don't tell you that we're in the last days and the perilous times have come upon us, then you're reading the wrong Bible. I've got several translations of the Bible. I've even got one back to the 1611 edition. And it says the same thing as the New King James Version does about these things, that God turned them over to a reprobate mind or a depraved mind to do that thing which is unrighteous in God's sight. Oh, with men with men and women with women. It's not holy, my friend. It's wrong. It's in the sight of God to a place to worry in. He has called it, therefore, an abomination. And anything that is an abomination in the sight of God, should men be adapted to it? And should they console it? Should they join in with it? I wouldn't think so, but many people are doing it today. They're passing the laws. The judges and all, they're passing the laws to make it sanction it and everything. The Bible says that these things are these people are worthy of death and them that have favor with them. So what are you going to do? Are you going to believe what the Word of God says? Are you going to believe our so-called society, that the society has went so wrong until they don't even know what they're doing themselves half of the time? God's word is going to stand. It's going to be fulfilled, and it's going to come to pass. as he said he was. And Daniel in the and his writings there in the second chapter about the image being destroyed, we're looking at all those images has come and gone, but there was one that Daniel seen, the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron with the clay mixed into the feet, and the stone hewed out without hands, smote it and hit it on the feet, and it all turned away, became chaff, and the wind blew it away. My friend, we're coming to that time. We're living in the last days. Whether you want to accept it or not, that's entirely up to you. But it doesn't change God's prophecy that Daniel spoke about maybe 2,500 years ago. We're standing now in the foot of that old iron and clay mixed together. That iron represented the Roman Empire, and the clay mixed in with it, Catholicism, at which has come forth, and it's other people call it something else, but it's just unrighteous. It seems to be, but it's not. If you read the Word of God and find out what it says about these things, then you will know if you will believe what the Bible has to say concerning these days in which we now live. But I want you to know that it's your belief or my belief outside of what God's Word is. It has no bearing on it. It has only one definition. You either believe in Him or you will perish and die in your sins. If you can't believe the report that has been given and the arm of God has not been revealed to you, as Isaiah put it, and you are lost without any hope, until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him your heart and let Him rule and reign in your life and you become a Christian, turn aside from your sins. Turn aside from the ways of the world and turn unto God. I know we're in the world and there's certain things of the world that we do. But the thing of it is, when you become a part of the world and you love the world so much that the Bible says you become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, then something other's wrong with your lifestyle. Something other has gone kind of off track. It's got crossed up, in other words. You made a left turn when you should have stayed straight, or at least made a right turn anyway, a right turn towards God, or stayed straight in the way that God would have you to go. Because He said, straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to life eternally. But broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many travel thereon. So a few is on the narrow, straight way, and many travel on the broad way of destruction. And look about you, friends. Look about and see where the world is today. See if the sin is not running rampant. Read your Bible and see what happened in Noah's day. See what happened when Luke was describing that Jesus told him that it combined Noah's time along with Lot's day when he was in Sodom. And if it's not, if we're not living those days now, God help us when it does come. But He's our only hope. He's our only refuge from the storm that is yet to come. We've seen these storms happening in the Philippines with that typhoon just wiping out territories, people's homes, and killing many of them. And we've seen that what happened in Illinois here just a few days ago with this hurricane that came through there, just destroyed much property and killed a lot of people. And we see that how this storm is coming across from the southeast, the southwest coming across, going into the east, and how it's devastating people on the road and how it's killing people and that today. We're living in perilous times, my friend. I can't emphasize that much, no more than what we're having today. We're seeing all these things come to pass that the Bible has spoken of, and yet and still people are lollygagging around. And lollygagging means you're just being fooled by a lot of things with your prosperity preachers and them that tickled your ears and said, oh, it's going to all be pan religion. It's all going to pan out and you can get to heaven whether you want to go or not. You predestinated for this and predestined. You, if you don't repent, your destination is going to be hell. If you repent and come to the God and return to Him and turn from your sinful ways and everything, then you can have eternal life with Him. That's the only two ways you can go. There's a right way and the wrong way. Jesus spoke of it Himself. Narrow is the way and straight is the gate. Broad is the way and wide is the gate. So which other way are you going to go? There's only two places outside of this world that we live in that God mentions about. And these people trying to go to get up there and prove that life is on some other planet, I don't think it'll ever be. But nevertheless, they're hoodwinking a bunch of people and they're sending up all this stuff. And I think it's a part of the wrath of God that's being poured out upon this nation. Messing around in God's heaven, trying to get up there like Lucifer did. I will ascend, I will ascend. I'll even set up on the congregation of the Most High. I will be ruler. That's what man's got it in his heart, because the devil told Eve, said, you'll become as God yourself, and they're trying to persuade God that let them be God. But I'm telling you, my friend, God's always been God. He's going to always be God, and He's going to bring an end to this stupidity that people have come to believe and the devil has put in their hearts. The devil was a liar from the beginning, and he's an author and the finisher of all lies. He's going to bring a destructive force upon you. Oh, you're going to think it's going to be good and peaceful there for a short time. But when the destruction comes, they're going to be like the Bible says. They're going to run and cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of Him that sits on the throne. They're going to throw the wealth into the caves with the bats. They're going to do all kinds of things according to the scriptures. But them that are justified by the grace of God and have repented of their sins, they're going to welcome the coming of the Lord. And when that trumpet sounds, that them would sleep in the dust of the earth, as it is written, they're going to rise to eternal life. And them that are in there and has not known God is going to rise to damnation. But them that are yet remain to be alive, that knows God and have repented and God is in their life, they're going to be changed. Them out of the grave is going to come forth incorruptible. And them that are remain to be alive is going to be changed from mortal to immortality, and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord. They didn't believe Noah when they said it was going to rain. They got caught in the short rows, but when the lightning flashed, the thunder roared, and the water began to fall, I no doubt that there was a prayer meeting, but it was too late. They didn't get into the ark, and it was too late. There's a lot of people today believing all this here charismatic ways and Catholicism and all these kind of ways. And are you going to be all right? Just pay the priest so much money and he'll pray you out of purgatory. My friend, if you wind up, if you go to hell, you're going to be there for the duration. Ain't no amount of money going to pay you out. I don't care what they say. It's a lie out of hell and the devil's his father. Plain and simple, according to the word of God, and I will stand on that foundation, which Paul said no other foundation can be laid, and that Jesus Christ and Him crucified, He is the true gospel. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the way. He is our shield and our buckler. He is the one that brought your soul from sin unto salvation by His death through His blood on Calvary's cross. For without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. And if you don't accept His atoning price for your sins, and you go on in your natural ways of sin, which we were born into from the fall in the garden, that the devil instituted there, and we go ahead and think that we're something special, and God's going to invite us into His kingdom, whether we want to go or not, that's another lie the devil has placed out. And has come forth, and some of them going into these homosexual churches and everything and said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a lie. The devil made them feel something. You need to check up on what kind of spirit you got, my friend. Because the Spirit of God is not going to dwell in an unclean temple. And that temple which men with men and women with women, doing that which is unseemly to God, which he has called and said was an abomination in his sight, he's not going to dwell in them people. It's just utterly impossible. God has not lied about anything. It's all about holiness, my friend. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, read your Bible. Check it out. I ain't going to give you verse and scripture because you'll pick it out and you pick it out and say, oh, that don't pertain to me. But you read the whole word. Bring it forth and to see what it has to say concerning these days wherein that we live now. Not yesterday, because it's gone. It's history. You can't do a thing in the world about it. If you was a righteous then, you'll be righteous, should be righteous today. But if you've turned again like the hog to the waller, or the dog to his own vomit, and you put God on the back burner and said no more, then you're lost. You'll die in your sins because you went forth there. Bible speaks about that there is a sin unto death. A lot of people, I know it says that blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. But do you ever think about that it could be that sin of homosexual acts? God put abomination on it? You can say anything about the Son of God and God himself or anything else, but blaspheming a word against the Holy Ghost, he said there was no forgiveness. But when you go and destroy that temple by homosexual acts and these things and unsinful things that are detrimental to you because God said it was, and you observe it and you take part of it and everything, he said, if you destroy this temple, he said, I will destroy your soul in hell. So what will it be? Would it be that you're going to serve God or serve the devil? See, he's the God of this world. And my friend, when you go to going along with the world and the love of the world is not the love of God. A man that loves the world and these things thereof is not lovers of God. They become lovers of pleasure. They become lovers of the things of the flesh, the lust thereof and the desire thereof. That's when God said he turned them over to a reprobate mind or a depraved mind, and they lust one for another, men with men and women with women. My friend, he did not institute the marriage of two men. He instituted it after he had taken the rib out of Adam's side and created Eve, and it was a woman, and he instituted the bringing together the man and a woman to replenish the earth. Now, these here homosexual things can't replenish the earth. It's got to be a male involved into it, even if it's one woman has brought forth and she claims to be a woman of that type of person, a lesbian. She had a child born unto him. The seed had to come from the man. So let me tell you, the man is still involved in it, and she has even sinned against her own thing there, involved with a man. Even though if it was artificial inseminated, it was still a man involved into it. So she's a liar herself. And all that believe in him, all that could sanction it, all of them that would endure it and everything, is going to suffer the punishment of God's wrath against that kind of sin. So it's up to you and I. I choose to serve the Lord. As Joshua told him, asked the people of Israel, to choose you this day to whom you shall serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. My friend, it's time we begin to take count of whom that we are and to who we will serve and to where we want to spend eternity. Where are we at today? And if we're in the presence of the Lord, pleasing to him, or are we just doing every old thing the old flesh desires and we out of the will of God? You're going to suffer the consequences. God is a just God. Now, we have judges that's turned people loose from one thing or another because some money was placed in their hand. If you'd read the book of Acts where Paul was brought before the kings of that time and the judges of that time. But he appealed to Caesar. And one of them, Felix, said if he would have been released. But you know why he wasn't? Because Paul didn't put a piece of money or something in their hands to release him. They held him over, sent him to Caesar. And where Caesar, when he was in Rome, he still preached the gospel. But there's where he met up with the headsman there, and they taken him and killed him there for a testimony he had about God. Many people don't believe these things. Many of them didn't believe in the resurrection back then, but it happened. They don't believe in the resurrection of the just and the unjust today, but it's going to happen. Whether you believe it or whether I believe it or not, my friend, I believe the whole articles of God. I believe the whole report that's been given unto him. The arm of God has been revealed to me out of the reading of his word. I'm unfortunately wasn't blessed as the apostles was and seen him face to face as they did in the flesh. Paul seen him in a great light in the noonday sun, brighter than the noonday sun, on the road to Damascus. He changed his attitude when he found out what he was so strong against was that what he needed to embrace, and he did so, and it cost him all of his wealth, but he stood fast and humbled himself at the foot of God's mercy, and God protected him. Many times he was left for dead, many times he was in the water, and many times in perils, but God seen him through until God had done with him what he intended to do, to spread the gospel unto you and I, which are Gentiles, and he brought it to us, and he gave it unto us, and sanctioned that the Christ, the Son of God, was no other than God himself manifested in the flesh, and came and died on Calvary's cross for yours and my miserable soul, and wherein that we can have life and have it more abundant. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go ahead and deny him and fall headlong into hell? Or are we going to receive him and be blessed of him and enter into eternal life with God in his kingdom? It's up to us. I choose to follow God. As Joshua did, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, my household contains of me and my wife, my children. I pray that God will spare them some way or another, but it's still got to be up to them, my friend. I can't do it for them. I can't put them in my coat pocket and slip them into the kingdom of God, because we're going to all stand before God, and we're all going to be judged according to our works, and we're going to be given a crown of life if we won the victory for God. But if them that have been deceived by the devil, and they come along and not have received God as their Savior, they're going to be turned into hell. And therefore, they're going to be cast into hell along with the devil and the false prophets and all liars and all of them that sinned and did not accept the plan of salvation, Jesus' blood shed on Calvary for their sins. They'll all be turned into hell. Plain and simple. If you read what the Bible says, you'll find out Lazarus was carried into Abraham's bosom, which is father of faith. We'll find that the rich man had it all that he could possibly have in this life. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes and said he was tormented in the flames. He didn't have anything, not even no companionship of his brothers. But he desired Abraham might let Lazarus go and tell him not to come to that place. But that can't be. If they don't believe the prophets, if you don't believe what the word of God says and believe the preachers that would preach to you the unadulterous word of God and the truth of his word, if you won't believe that, you wouldn't believe your grandma she'd come forth out of the dead, because it'd scare you so bad until you'd run off and leave her if you didn't pass away. So who are they going to believe? You're going to believe the unadulterous word of God as it's written, and the preachers that will preach to you the gospel of Jesus Christ? You can either believe it, my friend, or go down in defeat. It's still your choice. Many of you out there today and in the cross of the land are standing between the valley of decisions. You're wanting to, at the crossroads of life, you're wanting to know whether you want to keep in the way you're going or you want to turn to salvation. Let me encourage you, my friend, if you're standing there questioning it, there shouldn't be enough but one answer. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he will. If you're sincere about it, he will, and he'll come into your life, and he'll forgive you of your sins, and he'll wash you and cleanse you. Oh, that your sins be red like crimson, but they can be made whiter than snow through the blood of Jesus, who shed his blood for the remission of your sins. But it's up to you. The decision is yours. I can't decide. If I could decide for you, you'd be decided today. Right now, at this moment, I'd say to you, your decision is you're going to serve God. Turn from your wicked ways and serve God. But I can't make that decision for you. It's individual. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's your decision like it was my decision. Oh, I wasn't born in this world with a silver spoon in my mouth or in my hand or whatever, not even no silver at all. I was born into this world just like you was. Naked I came into the world, and naked I'll go out, as the old saying goes. But Job said, a man born into this, born of a woman in this world, is going to have troubles as the sparks fly upward. And I've had my share, and probably maybe have some more before it's over with, just as you will. But the decision of it is that if you choose to walk with the Lord, allowing him to help us, then you've got somebody that will help you through your trials. Not cut you off in the middle of it and let you die in them and fall headlong into hell like that old boy we call the devil, the god of this world. My friend Jesus said he would go with us. He would go with us even to the end of the world. He's the only one that can go with you past the grave plot, wherever that may be. He can go with you even unto the end. He can go with you and be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you got to choose him. You got to allow him to do so. And when you surrender to him, he will give you peace that you have never understood before. Oh, this world is crying out for peace, but when it comes and they say we have peace, we have order, in other words, and therefore, and when they do that, the Bible says when they cry out peace and safety, there'll be sudden destruction. So that peace is going to be short-lived, but the destruction is going to be eternally. But the destruction that God's going to bring upon this world is not going to be just for a short time. It's going to be eternal. His kingdom is going to be brought forth and be set up, and God's people is going to be in it, and them only. All sin and unrighteousness to be cast into hell and fastened up to no more deceive the nations. The devil will never more have the opportunity to deceive any man, because he'll be fashioned up into hell himself. Because it was prepared for him and his angels. It wasn't prepared for you and I. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that we all come to repentance. But there's some people in this world today that rather die and go to hell than to call upon the name of the Lord. Because if they think that Allah's going to give them seven virgins and a river of honey, and Buddhists is going to issue them into somewhere or another, and the Catholic Church going to pray them out of hell, and they believe all these things. But if you read your Bible, believe what it has to say, then you need to accept God as your Savior. He's the only one that can keep you out of hell. He's the only one that can save your soul from hell. He's the only one that can give you eternal life. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, God manifested in the flesh. You got to accept what it says and not what these here harlot churches that's joined and teaching the same thing as that old whore church does at Revelation's call, riding upon the beast. There's no church in the world that would fit that description other than the Roman Catholic Church. If you read your Bible, you'll find out what I'm saying is true, as well as a lot of other people have brought it out into the light. So it's up to you, my friend. I see my time is running short, and I want my wife to have something here, but I want you to know that in this lifetime that I have lived in these 80-odd years, that I have seen a lot of changes. I've seen things happen. I've seen that how people used to go to church and be there for several hours praying and worshiping God in spirit and truth during the Depression days. They'd go into the brush arbors and into camp meetings and things and be there from sundown to maybe even to the wee hours of the morning. Now you can't hardly get them to go and stay 2 hours. They got their mind wandering off on the ball game that's going to come on the TV. Are they going to figure out where they're going to go eat at, or where they're going to do this, or where they're going to do that, but they're restless. It's all because the God of this world has got into their life in so much until he takes their minds off of the true worship of God and puts it upon the love of pleasure, the love of this life, and the love of the world and all the things that are in it. They become eating and drinking and being merry as they was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. They are lusting after their same-sex marriages and everything. It's the same as it was back then, lusting after the flesh, that which God has condemned man with man and women with women, but yet and still they'll go do it. So it's come to the time to where that they've turned away from God. They've turned into the world of pleasures and having all these things. There'll be people on these holidays traveling from one part of the United States or one part of the world to another to celebrate this and celebrate that. My friend, it's coming to the time to where people have gotten more of this in their life than they have God, and God's getting tired of it. He's a sovereign to God. He put man on the face of the earth to serve him and to worship him. He put Adam in that garden, had everything he needed, but a companion. Then he even supplied that to him, and he gave him one commandment. Don't partake of the tree of knowledge in the midst of the garden. For the day and the time that you do, you will die. He died spiritually. He became separated from the grace of God and put us all in sin. And that second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Adam was made out of the dust of the earth. That second Adam was made a quickening spirit, came and gave his life on Calvary's cross, shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. And Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, or as the Bible says, the Son of God, God came down in the form of a dove at the river where John had baptized him, and the voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God couldn't come and die in the spirit, but he came in the flesh. He came and died for yours and my sins. He hung on Calvary's cross, and as he was hanging there dying for yours and my sins, he looked out over them people and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The heads of the state back then should have known. But because they were so eager to be, not to have another king, they wanted to be king themselves. They crucified the King of Glory. Even to them in the synagogue should have knew who he was. But they didn't want to lose anything, for they afraid they would lose their positions. And they had him crucified. Taking the man out of prison, which was a murderer, Barabbas, and a sinful man, and chose him above the Christ that died for him. That's what they're doing today, my friend. They are looking unto the world instead of unto the creator of the world. They become worship of the creature more than the creator. So it's up to you, it's up to me, whether or not we're going to serve God and be a recipient of his glorious grace that he has shed there, and receive him, and that we may have life and have it more abundantly, or we continue in our sins and go down the tube, as the old saying goes, fall headlong into hell and be there for the duration of however long eternity is. They tell me that if you take a sparrow and turn him loose, and each time he made a complete circle around the globe of the earth, and his tip of his wing just taking a grain of sand off of the earth until it was all gone and there would be no more, eternity would just begin. So imagine it. How long would it take that? I don't know. I'd be afraid to try to calculate, but it would take a long time. But nevertheless, my friend, God's kingdom is going to last forever. There'll never be no end to it. But the kingdom of this world, the devil, is destined to have a period of time, and he knows his time is short, and he's trying to get you drug along in there with him. He's trying to win you over to him, persuade you to follow me, as he did a third part of the angels. Follow me in a quest. And they all got thrown out of heaven. And if you're going to follow him, you'll be shut out your own self. So choose you this day to whom you'll serve. Choose Christ Jesus. Let me encourage you. Read your Bible. Choose the Lord as your Savior. Be a warrior for him. And turn loose of these things of the world and serve him. And serve him with the gladness of your heart. And worship him in spirit and in truth. Be filled with his spirit, the Holy Ghost, and be not ashamed of it. Hallelujah. But be embrace him with all that is within you, whole soul, mind, and body, giving him praise and honor. For we are living in the time of the restitution. We're living in the time that when Jesus is pretty soon to come. So it's up to you. You can choose and live forever, or you can choose to serve the world and die and fall in headlong into hell. It's up to you. I've had my say. Now I'm going to turn it over to my wife, and she can bring something here I think is worthwhile to you. And we just ask you to pray for us. If you enjoy it, just give us a little note back and say you enjoyed it. We're not trying to deprive you from your wealth. We're not trying to build a memorial to ourselves. We're just trying to win souls for the kingdom of God. But if you've enjoyed this, well, write to us. Our address will be given unto you. And just let us know that you appreciate it. It gives us encouragement as I'm trying my best to give you encouragement to seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We'd like to hear from you, if it be pleasing. And we just appreciate all those that have wrote to us and all those that have helped us with little that they have. But little is much when God is in it. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. God has blessed them, and I believe he's blessed them tremendously, kept them from sickness or maybe from some other disaster. But nevertheless, God is on the side of the righteous, and he is against sin and an abomination. So let us all join together and pray and seek the kingdom of God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body, giving praise unto the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Here's my wife, Sister Saber.
Well, praise the Lord. I just thank the Lord again for letting me share with you today what he has laid on my heart. It's something that I have read before, and like I've said before, if you would like a copy of it or you would like to share it with someone, let me know. And also, if you have something that we can share with others, I'm always looking for good stuff. I don't want a lot of junk or anything like that, but something that will lift up the name of Jesus and would bless someone out there and help them along the way to eternal life. But I've read this before, and it's here, the alarm. If we could look back around and see what's happening in our country, and your inner alarm doesn't go off, you're getting used to the darkness that is descending upon this nation. If you can listen to your local and national news networks, and hear of all the crime, violence, and corruption reported in America in just one day, and your alarm doesn't sound like a naval ship called to battle station, there's something drastically wrong. If it could be that the awareness part of your mind has been calloused by the constant bombardment of garbage from the corrupt and perverse ideologies providing our society today. In the 60s, America officially and by law kicked God out of our schools. Since that time, the SAT scores have plunged 73%. The divorce rate went up and teen pregnancy has soared. Hear the alarm. Violent crime has risen 500%, and rioting has ripped our cities. The streets of America have become a battlefield. That infamous decade marked the beginning of the end for the world's greatest nation. Hear the alarm. The list is unending, and people are disillusioned and discouraged. In the Tampa Bay area alone, people are so discouraged or apathetic that 70% of them do not bother to attend church. Hear the alarm. Does this sound like something that you know about? Since 1973, 30 million unborn human beings have been slaughtered. In other words, 73% of babies that have been not born. Now you can abort them right up until almost the time that they're born, and even after they draw their first breath. God is not pleased with that. In one out of every four families in America, the children are slaughtered and they're abused, sexually abused. Hear the alarm. 1,000 babies every day are born addicted to drugs, and now they want to legalize it for medicinal purposes. Everybody that likes drugs is going to have a problem. I'm against it, and I know God is too. We're becoming a nation of people with hearts so hardened that there's no respect of human life. God is speaking to our unhearing and unheeding nation even now. Oh, hear his wake-up call. He's speaking to us through physical calamities, rampant crime, and senseless violence, drug and alcohol abuse, immoral and corrupt leadership, and many other ways. Yet the church continues to major on entertainment. If there's a concert someplace, some great singer is coming, you'll find the churches are full of it. Where is the blood of Jesus Christ songs? Where is the cross? We abandon it. I thank God that the church we go to still preaches the cross, still sings about the cross. Pop psychology, where masses ignore the church altogether. We need to remember God's warning. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. That's in Psalms 9 and 17. The way out of this sinking sand is simple. We need a real revival and not superficial emotionalism. We need to make an unconditional commitment to the true God and his eternal purposes, the God and his principles that this nation was founded upon, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Turn back to the eternal God who is revealed in his written word and centered in our Creator, Savior, and soon coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do this, the rewards will be unimaginable, and the restoration will be miraculous. If we do nothing and continue to ignore the alarm, the consequences will be tantamount to a hell on earth. We can choose to ignore the sounding alarm, but we cannot choose the consequences of our actions. The Bible puts it simply in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, do not go another second without bowing your head and asking Him to come into your heart. Repent. Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. First thing you have to do, of course, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But He said that you had to repent. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. You've been blessed by our words today that we have said, and you need a prayer request or something, just email us to ecompton31@yahoo.com. Or if you would like to help us, keep us going, and would love to send us something that we can share with other people, you may do so at Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. Our goal is to reach a lost and dying world. In this Thanksgiving coming up, just thank God for everything. Look back and see what God has blessed you with. Don't look at all the things that have happened to you, but count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. May God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, praise the Lord. We're just happy to know that God is still on the throne, and He listens to the outcry of His people. If you are not one of His, then I would encourage you, my friend, today to not just raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and then accept that you're on the way to glory, because it's a little different from that. You got to repent, be godly sorrow of your sins, and turn from your sinful ways. Turn unto the Christ that wherein that died for you. Accept Him as your Savior and look to Him for salvation. Just raising your hand and merely just repeating after another man don't always work. It would be good that if it did, but I'm afraid, my friend, if you haven't got a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and you're not sorry for your sins, and you, after you said those words, and you keep walking in the same old road that you walked in all your life and are walking in presently, that there word has been no effect for you. Right. Except you repent and change your ways. Don't go back into the hog pen. Don't go back to the dog turn to his own vomit, but turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk therein by faith, seeking after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body. Don't go back into the world out there. I've heard stories of how people, they come out and are supposed to be gotten saved, said, I'm going back out onto the streets and I'm going to win the souls of all those harlots that are out there and get them converted to get them into church. Guess what happened? They turned right back into the old thing. They went back into the hog pen, turned like the dog did to their own vomit, and they walked back out into the world of sin. And they're still there, to the best of my knowledge, today, walking in the lust of the flesh and luring after all things unpleasing to God. My friend, you cannot. He said, to come you out from among the world and be you therefore separated, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So it's up to you and I. But let me encourage you, read your Bible. Pray for our boys and girls that are in these wars and suffering loss of legs and limbs, eyes, and one thing or another for your benefit. Pray for them that God will soon end this thing and let them come home to their friends and loved ones in one piece, that we might be able to help those that have sacrificed. Help them there, the policemen that are just and them that are doing right, the highway patrol, the firemen, the doctors, and all that are justified, and they do all they can. Let us pray for them that God will help them to continue to do that which is right and be counted worthy to enter into His kingdom. My friend, it's up to you and I. We need to pray one for another, not to pray for sin to engulf and pray for them that have done committed the sin unto death, as the Bible says. But if you see a brother in fault and you can win him for the glory of God, do so. But if he will continue on in his sins, I don't suggest that you keep praying for him, because he ain't going to change. And the Bible says that he would not that you pray for that kind of a sin life. And them that committed the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, they walking in their sins. They continued in their sins. It's become to be obituary thing with them, and they're not going to change. There's no sense of praying for it, because they've done made up their mind, and their God is in their time, and they turned over to a depraved mind to do that, and there ain't much you can do about it. But just put it in the hands of the Lord. To seek after the Lord for yourself salvation, calling upon the name of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you until next time. We pray that it's been an encouragement to you. So like I said, write to us, if you will. Encourage us, and we'll give God the praise and the glory for it. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are